Well, today we have a treat for us, a treat in store for all of you. One of the things that I've learned over my almost 12 months now as your pastor is some of the amazing gifted people that are in our midst that we may not even be aware are here. For about the last year, the Reverend Larry Ankrum has been worshiping, sitting here on the second row, week in and week out. What many of us didn't know for quite some time is that Larry is a retired United Methodist pastor from the Kansas area. He served in what is now known as the Great Plains Conference. 2 years ago, he and his wife Betty retired and moved to Gulf Shores, and about a year ago, they found their way to worshiping here at Foley United Methodist Church. Larry and Betty were active in music ministry, singing all over the state of Kansas, all kind of places and all different kind of venues. When God called him into the ministry, he pastored several churches in Kansas, retired a few years ago, and now we are grateful today that Larry is going to come and use his gifts as he preaches the word for us today. I met Larry a couple weeks ago at my favorite meeting place in town, Krispy Kreme. And we had a great conversation, and I asked Larry if he would come and preach, and he said, "Now, Nolan," he said, "my style is different than yours." I said, "For the sake of our congregation, that's probably a good thing." And I said, he said, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Do you preach the word?" And he said, "I do." I said, "Then you are welcome to come." And so, Larry, we're glad you're here this morning. Betty, we're glad you're here too. Larry, I invite you to come and proclaim the word this morning. Would y'all give Larry a hand as he comes today?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Isn't it a great place to be on Sunday morning?
Yes.
Amen. And in the tradition of John Wesley, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud or anything, but how is your soul today? Something to think about, right? And there's many of us here today whose soul is in need of rescue. In the churches that I served in Kansas, the congregations learned rather quickly that when I asked them how their souls were today, they would automatically, at any time during the service, even in the middle of a sermon or a song, they would say, "I'm standing on the solid rock and my name's on heaven's rolls." And that is really an uplifting thought for me, to know that I'm standing on that solid rock. Take a moment just for a small prayer. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in the sight of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to share with you some writing from Paul. And it's in the book of Romans. Isn't that correct? Now, this scripture is by far one of the hardest to deal with. The first time I read this scripture, I was so disturbed because I felt like he had written it directly to me. Let's hear these words. "I do not understand my own actions. I do not understand, for I do not do what I want. But I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The message of rescue is the theme of our scripture lesson today. Hard to understand, hard to follow. With the I do this, that happens. That happens when I do not do this. Most of us remember Tweety Bird. How many of you remember Tweety Bird? When he said, if I do it, I'd be in trouble. I do it. You'd be surprised how many people that simple statement describes. Paul, in his writing, was saying, and of course the other old saying, if I do it, I'd be in trouble. If I don't do it, I'd be in trouble. We've all been in that kind of a position. This scripture provides a dilemma. It can be a child's dilemma, an adult dilemma, a life dilemma, and it can be a holy faith dilemma. Actually, brothers and sisters, what we have in our scripture lesson today is a man that just flat out knows that he is a sinner. And we can use fancy words, twist the meaning of the words law and evil, and turn the whole thing into a deep theological discussion designed to make us feel better about ourselves. Or we can do as Paul did. We can confess. That's what I believe Paul wanted us to do. He wanted us to read the scriptures and to hear the words of someone that testified and confessed that he was a sinner. Of course, this was not a new lightning flash to Paul. Many things have happened to him. He was used to things happening in an instant in his life. He knew he was a sinner, and he confesses to that fact, just as we all know that we are sinners. Sin dwells in all of us. Good is in our hearts, and evil is in our hands. Just look at the world that we live in today. And we are no different than Paul. I have a story about a young man that's in need of rescue. He says, our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said, fried chicken. She said I wasn't funny. But she couldn't have been right. Everybody else laughed. Now, my parents told me to always tell the truth. I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. Well, teacher sent me to the principal's office. Now, if you've ever been sent to the principal's office, you remember how scared you were, how you really needed somebody to rescue you from that. Well, he told the principal what happened. And he laughed too. Then he rescued me by saying, don't do it again. The next day in my class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was. I told her it was a chicken. She asked me why, so I told her, because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. And once again, he laughed and rescued me from all my fear and told me not to do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, the teacher asked us to tell her what famous person we admire the most. And I told her Colonel Sanders. Guess where I'm at now? Brothers and sisters, think for a moment about some of Paul's words. He says, I do not understand my own actions. How many times in your life have you been totally flabbergasted and actually dumbfounded by something that you have said or something that you have done? Sometimes, no matter how bad we want to do good, we do bad, evil. We still do bad things. We can go clear back into the Psalms, Psalm 35, and read verses 17 and 18, and listen to what the psalmist says. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages, my life from the lions. Then I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. The psalmist is crying out for rescue. He was wanting and desiring and needing and even demanding and pleading to the Lord to rescue him from the ravages of life. Lord Jesus, rescue us. Say that with me. Lord Jesus, rescue us. Paul was fighting a battle between heart and hands. That old battle that we all are fighting. That old battle that we all are familiar with. Heart fighting the hands. Who among us does not struggle to fight evil and to embrace good? Sweet Jesus, Paul cried out, I am a wretched man. I am a wretched man. Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me? How often have you said that in your heart or in your mind? Who will rescue me? The old hymn, Rescue the Perishing, written by Fanny Crosby, is the same cry that we all lift up today. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Glory, hallelujah, and praise in God's house today, amen. Brothers and sisters, Jesus will rescue us from aimlessness, from pain, from loneliness, from many things that we are faced with every day, with the pressure of Satan to gain control of our lives. Jesus will rescue us out of the negativity of the world. If you do not believe that we are living in a negative world, I invite you to turn on the television, read a newspaper, a magazine. We are flooding our country, our people, with negativity. And when our own sin seems to consume us and we cry out, oh, wretched person that I am, Jesus will rescue us. The progress of that rescue depends entirely on you. Jesus wants to rescue you. And he wants to rescue us from indecision and rescue us from worry and rescue us from disbelief, rescue us from sin. Jesus even wants to rescue us from death, from the grave, and give us eternal life. Most of us try to lift good over evil. We all want to encounter salvation instead of damnation. So we cry out in faith. We cry out in the name of Jesus to the one who rescued us with a crown of thorns and a Roman cross and three nails and an empty tomb. Glory to God and glory to Jesus and glory to the Holy Spirit. I have another story about a man that needed to be rescued. We'll call him John. John went to visit his 90-year-old grandmother in a very secluded rural area of Saskatchewan. After spending a great evening chatting the night away, the next morning John's grandmother made a great breakfast of bacon, eggs, and toast. However, John noticed a film-like substance on his plate and questioned his grandmother, asking, "Are these plates clean?" And his grandmother replied, "They're as clean as cold water can get them. Just go ahead and finish your meal." For lunch, his grandmother made hamburgers. And again, John was concerned about the plates, as he appeared to have tiny specks around the edge that looked like dried egg. And so he asked again, "Are you sure these plates are clean?" Without looking up, his grandmother said, "I told you before, John, that those dishes are clean as cold water can get them. Now don't you fret, I don't want to hear another word about it." Later that afternoon, John was on his way to a nearby town. And as he was leaving the house, his grandmother's dog started to growl at him and bared his teeth. The dog did not like him. And the dog would not let him pass so that he could get to his truck. "Grandma," John yelled, "your dog won't let me get to my truck." Without diverting her attention from what she was doing, John's grandmother shouted, "Cold water, shut up and lay down. You hear me?" Oh. He needed to be rescued. Amen. His rescue in this story was in progress, and your rescue is in progress at this very moment. How many times have you been rescued when Satan blocked your path? Rescued by Jesus. Rescue in progress. Bathed in baptism, immersed in glory, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and living in the salvific power of the cross. Hallelujah and sweet Jesus, brothers and sisters. God's house is in need of being in a rescue mode, not just today, but every day. I say a rescue is in progress. Well, consider the Christmas birth, the Good Friday crucifixion, the Easter resurrection, the transfiguration, the ascension, the teaching and praying and power of Jesus Christ's love, and the cleansing blood of the Lamb. Definitely a rescue in progress. Jesus says, "Come to me, take my word and love it. Come and I will give you rest today, brothers and sisters. Come to Jesus, talk to him as Paul talked to him, and confess." Yes, that's right. That old church, holy Christian belief that we all need to confess. Confess and be rescued. If you can't bring your confession out today, here, or in private, then hold on. I tell you, brothers and sisters, hold on, because your rescue is in progress. Jesus is drawing near. Do not despair. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will not give up on you. So do not give up on yourself. Do not let Satan win. Cry out, "Lord Jesus, rescue me." Remember verse 3 of the rescue of the perishing. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter Satan, feelings lie buried that grace, I said grace, can restore and revitalize. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescued, sweet Jesus. Rescued by the King of Kings. Rescued by the Lamb of God. Rescued by the Great Shepherd. Betty and I have attended many revivals on a mountainside in Arkansas. And many times on that mountainside, I realized that I was a lot like Lazarus and like a lot of other people. I was dead and buried in sin. Then Jesus called my name. Glory to God. I have been rescued more times than I can count or even remember. And many of you have been too. Buried under sin and worldly woe, we cry out for rescue, and Jesus calls our names, and we are rescued by the sweet aroma of Christ's peace, rescued by the sweet smell of God's holy power, and rescued by the sweet, sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ's grace and his salvation. Jesus Christ is listening for your cry for salvation today. Paul tells us of the glory when he said, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Brothers and sisters, when you feel like you might be going under for the last time, remember, there is a rescue in progress, and it is yours. Reach out and take the hand of Jesus Christ and hold on for dear life and eternal life. Amen. Praise be to God.